This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. At least one member of Bethel City Council does not want to see AC get another liquor license. Tonight, Leif Albertson will push a protest of the liquor license transfer from Cusco Liquor to the Northwest Company known as AC. Albertson points to what happened the last time AC had a license to sell alcohol in Bethel.
When given the opportunity, Alaska Commercial Company did not do many of the things that they know would have prevented death and misery in our community.
Albertson says in the 5 months that Caribou Traders has been in the alcohol business, there has been nothing like the wave of alcohol-related incidences that was seen when AC sold alcohol. He blames AC's business practices for that directly. AC did promise to change and has offered a 14-point improvement plan for how they would do things better this time. Albertson thinks it's too late.
What it took was for them to lose their license, for them to come back to the table and say, oh, well, we're going to do all these things.
Now Albertson wants to take many of AC's promises and codify them into law. He's proposing an ordinance that would limit people to 2 bottles of hard spirits per day, which liquor stores would be mandated to track with a sell-to list. Stores' business hours would also be shortened. They'd be allowed to be open from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Albertson's ordinance would eliminate alcohol sales to individuals with alcohol restrictions and make it easier for police to arrest people for drinking in public spaces. The Bethel City Council will vote on both the protest of the liquor license transfer to AC and the introduction of the ordinance to tighten alcohol laws tonight. Tune in to KYUK 640 AM for the live broadcast of the meeting at 6:30 PM. Moving upriver, Akiak lost a mile-long stretch of riverbank to erosion last month. 6 houses are now within 100 feet of the riverbank and need to be moved as soon as possible. But some people don't want to move. KYUK's Greg Kim visited these homes in Akiak to find out why.
The entire riverbank looks like it's in surgery. Tarps and rope and metal poles try to hold the land together, but it's like bandaging a severed limb. Clumps of mud and chunks of permafrost line the edge of the bank to show the wound is still fresh. In one section of the bank, the river has carved a particularly big bite out of the land. The river is 20 feet away from swallowing one of the homes. City Administrator David Galila remembers the day all this happened.
My son came out and said, Dad, you should come and go look at Uncle Pete's bank. It's close to his house. I said, no, and it can't be. I just walked through it yesterday. I went there, came there, and there was...
David has been working to get funding to move the homes away from the river. The closest one belongs to his brother, Peter Galila. But Peter is not eager to move. He says he has one big condition.
As long as the water and sewer is going to be connected, if not, I'm staying. I don't want to go back to the honey bucket.
Akiak got running water and sewer hooked up in 2008. Before that, people used honey buckets and hauled water from the river. But since then, things have changed.
Because the river is unusable now, too contaminated. For the health of my grandchildren, and those living in the house, I'd like to continue to have the running water.
Just moving the house alone will cost almost $100,000. To add water, sewer, roads, and electricity, that's several times the cost. Tribal Administrator Sheila Carl hopes they can get all the money this year, but water and sewer might have to wait a year or two. She points to what could happen if people wait too long to move their house, and what has already happened.
A whole smokehouse just kind of like rolled into the river within a matter of an hour. Are they just gonna let their house roll into the river?
If it comes to that, yes.
Peter is aware of the risks, and he's prepared to deal with them as they come.
But like I say, it's not the end of the world there. Because I can rebuild. And that's what we do. That's what we have always been doing, rebuilding.
David says he can understand his brother.
I wouldn't move either. That's our house, that's where we grew up. Right next to it was the old house that we grew up in. That's where we grew up.
Not everyone along the riverbank wants to wait.
Shoot, I wouldn't mind. I'm kind of wanting water and sewer at the same time too, all right?
Arnold Williams lives a few houses down from Peter.
I don't want to lose my house, you know. This is what my uncle worked hard to give me. I wouldn't want to let him do all that work just for nothing. To let him see it going down the river.
Arnold wants to move as soon as he can. Peter may have found peace with the river, but Arnold is scared.
I never experienced that much land coming off the ground ever before in my life that fast. It freaked me out when I saw that happening, though. We couldn't even do nothing about it.
Arnold now works on the riverbank, moving sandbags, securing tarps. He says he likes that work. It gives him a little control over his situation. And he tells his neighbors they should take control of theirs.
You want to save your family? You want to save your house? Move it.
Akiak is working to put together its hazard mitigation plan and submit it to the Federal Emergency Management Agency by September. That will make the village eligible for the increased disaster funding the state of Alaska received because of the earthquake last year. They hope to move the houses this year, water, sewer pipes, and all. In Akiak, I'm Greg Kim.
Turning north to the Yukon River, halfway through the season, a commercial summer chum salmon fishery on the Yukon appears unlikely. The return of summer chum is late and weak and well below the predicted return. The pilot station's sonar indicates that a little over 65,000 chum have swum up the Yukon as of June 25th. The medium at this time of the season is usually over 500,000 fish. Data indicates the return this season is lower than the very weak return in 2000 and 2001. That means not enough summer chum appear to have swum up the Yukon to meet the current drainage-wide escapement goal of 500,000 fish. The river's chum fishery is an important source of cash for the villages in the lower Yukon region. Though the summer chum salmon run on the Yukon is weak this year, the number of king salmon is about the same as last summer, and managers are using the same measures to make sure enough of them swim upriver to both spawn and meet harvest needs of fishermen in Canada. Both are required by the Pacific Salmon Treaty between the two countries. Managers have scaled back the number of subsistence harvest in the lower Yukon to one 18-hour opening a week. During the subsistence closures, fishermen can still target non-salmon species in the Yukon with gill nets with 4-inch or less mesh. Out on the coastal waters, including Hooper and Scammon Bays, subsistence fishing is open all day, every day, with 7.5-inch or smaller mesh gill nets. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please send your news tips to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for the news in Yukdun coming up.